With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Down this road is a small city once thriving and full of life, but now desolate and abandoned. Well, abandoned save for the horrors rumored to reside within, which I presume is why you're here. Now, there's nothing wrong with a little morbid curiosity, but please, remember to stay close to your guides. We wouldn't want anyone to get left behind now.
Hello, tourists, and welcome back to Nopeville, the city filled with all the terrifying and horrible things that make you say nope.
Nope.
We're your tour guides. I am Jen.
And I'm Christine.
And today is a very special tour and haunting hour. We have the special privilege and opportunity to be joined by a paranormal investigator whom we've admired for a super long time. You might know him as former host and executive producer of Ghost Adventures, and then he went on to host Paranormal Lockdown, and now he's doing a brand new show called Death Walker. Taurus, say hello to Nick Groff.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Nick Groff, obviously, I've been doing this for a very long time. And, you know, it's funny listening to you both say nope. I always say that when I go into haunted locations. But sometimes I say yup.
Exactly.
It's a fascinating journey that I've been on, just exploring the unknown and looking for the possibilities of stuff that's in the afterlife and trying to understand what are these things that we don't fully can comprehend. So it's just a very fascinating world we live in that's full of just weird and mysterious stuff that's still happening.
Yeah, for sure.
So obviously, for anybody who isn't familiar with your work, can you maybe introduce what brought you into the paranormal, like maybe a specific experience, how long you've been doing this kind of thing, that type?
Yeah, when I was about 8 years old, I actually had a near-death experience. I fell from a tree, ripped open the whole side of my left arm right here. Wow. I had about 100 stitches. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah,
it's pretty gnarly looking. I used to joke around in school and tell kids when I went to different schools, like the public school when I went there, I was like, oh, I was a knife fighter, like Jaws.
Do you do the Joker thing where you get the scars from different things?
Exactly, yeah. That's what kept me like kind of tough.
Nice.
So I didn't get beat up at school. But no, it was a weird journey. You know how sometimes you're kind of destined to do certain things?
Yep.
And I felt like no matter if I wanted to escape it or not within the paranormal or supernatural, I never could. It just was in my blood, my DNA from early childhood.
Right.
And it really was. I mean, having that near-death experience, kind of thinking back on it, I feel it brought me a little bit closer to that other side. But my grandmother used to talk to me actually a lot about extraterrestrials, aliens, UFOs. So I really got heavily involved in that at an early age, probably around 12 to 13. My sister's godparents actually lived in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Nice.
And they used to talk to me about Art Bell in Area 51. And his father actually helped build the bunkers and would tell him that that he built them before he passed away at Area 51. So, you know, there was like this weird underlining mystery that I just felt like I needed to learn more on. And I was just that bizarre kid at a really early age where I would look up at the stars and say, what else is out there? It can't just be us humans.
Right.
There has to be something deeper. You know, when you start going down that rabbit hole, like Alice in Wonderland, you just start exploring all the possibilities from theories to concepts to different people's perspectives, you know, backgrounds, life. And it's just it's very fascinating, I think, in conversations when you speak to people that are open-minded with other ideas.
Yeah.
So I think at early age, I was just introduced to a lot of that. And then I just started exploring, you know, hauntings in high school. I would go to like, we'd hear the story of like, you know, the urban legend, oh, this house burnt down or something, a family perished in it. Yeah. So let's go explore it. And yeah. I was that kid in high school where I'd get in the car with a group of kids and we'd go to like, I don't know, some random house and it was abandoned. Mm-hmm. I don't think the story was very accurate, to be honest with you, but it was close and it looked pretty bizarre. So yeah. we'd walk up there and, you know, we'd hear like a creak or something in the house and all the these like tough soccer player high school kids would go running and I'd be the one sitting in there just looking in like, what are you guys running from? I want to go explore. Yeah. So I think that's kind of how I started. And then, you know, I've always had a passion and love for film in general. So at an early age, going to college, UNLV.
Nice.
And that's when I went to Las Vegas. And I just want to, I don't know, search out more stuff. I always wanted to fulfill that part of me when I was a child to go to Area 51, go to the town of Rachel, go to Goldfield, go to Virginia City, Nevada. So I did all that stuff in 2001 or 2000. I forget that exact year. During my spring break, I just took my roommate's car and I drove all the way up to, you know, this broke college kid driving all the way up to all these haunted mountain towns and checking them out for myself with my little Hi8 camera. And that's how I kind of started, honestly. Yeah. It wasn't for 2 years later in 2004 is when I met Aaron a long time before that, you know, shooting film. And I met Zach way later. He was a wedding DJ. I met him crossing because I was shooting wedding videos to make money and stuff. And
that's so crazy.
I just called him up one day. I said, hey, you guys want to go look for ghosts? You know, like that's how it all started. In a sense of where we are now, as far as like, you know, our stuff being aired on TV and stuff. So and that's what it started. I molded that into a series and then, you know, did I create Paranormal Lockdown and so on. And then years go on. I just wanted to keep evolving. I hated the redundancy of like the same old, you know, it just after a while you shoot 200 locations and then a lot of them are being condensed. Mostly all of them every other week are being condensed for TV and broadcast. I've had a lot of experiences like on and off camera in a sense, what people actually see. And I think there came a point now with Deathwalker, I want to bring it back to the elements of like that raw, that real gritty, like what it is when you paranormal investigate, like really what it is when you go out and you kind of have those continuous long dragged out shots. Like my cousin, Justin, and is the only one filming me. We have no big camera crews. It's just Justin and I. And we hit the road for about a month and we're filming about 10 to 20 locations. And I'm sleeping at them, you know, for 2 days, 3 days. Then we'll go to another location. It's just like a very story driven narrative of like an overarching like concept of, you know, can a spirit or ghost or something from beyond actually physically harm the body or can leave a mark on the physical body in our reality? So that's kind of like these different concepts are like, let's put them to test. Let's really see, you know, let's get some new gear. Let's work with some engineers. Let's kind of push it a little bit. Cause I feel like it's so redundant and oversaturated that we have to do something a little bit different.
Oh, for sure.
So that's kind of how Deathwalker started with like these piloted episodes of theories. But then I took a step back and I wanted to be a little bit more derivative on, you know, we upped the cameras, low light capabilities. We got rid of night vision because we're missing a lot in different spectrums. So we started to dive into different conceptual like thinking of like, what are we missing? So, I mean, man, we hit the road for about 3 years shooting 40 episodes.
Oh, wow.
And then we just landed our American deal, which is with FilmRise, which, you know, they really believed in us. And we work with a great agency and a company called GRB, and we're working with FilmRise. And now it's just, it's blowing up. Honestly, it's blown up when we just announced it. What was it, last week or something?
Yeah.
On December 7th, we announced it, and we just kind of just came full blast out of nowhere with it. Yeah. And like, here's all 40 episodes.
We both binged the first season already.
Cool.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that. I was like, I had to go back and search the post because I was like, I swear I saw him post about this before a long time ago. And I finally found it. It was like 2020, right? Like early 2020 was when you created the channel.
Yeah, I kind of just put it out there. Like the first five episodes were so raw. Like I literally did it all myself. And you got to understand, it's away from a network, away from anyone, away from any money backing it, nothing. Like we basically reinvented ourselves in a sense, myself and Justin, my cousin, because Justin and I have been doing this since we were little kids. I think you got to understand, like, my cousin and I, we did all the locations, half of the locations on Ghost Adventures, a lot of, like, all season one, I did pretty much 90% of the editing, like the filming, a lot of the stuff that used to be Paranormal Lockdown, we did all that too. But you start to have like little crews here and there, you know, a 10-person crew in the field. And then Paranormal Lockdown was so gritty. It's like everyone would leave. It would just be me and then Katrina living in the locations for 3 days. But Deathwalker is just completely different. It's so raw. So we put those five out there. But I wanted to do something where we had a full season, you know, like 20 eps, where we have everything. So we just upped everything and we just decided to just financially get behind it ourselves and go after it. So we shot the other 15 episodes, kind of grouped that in. So the season one's kind of like more of a pilot, I would call it, in a sense, because it's completely different from, like, if you jump into season 2, 3 and on, even season 4, what we're shooting right now is like way more cinematic, way more put together, balanced, just completely different. But that's just us perfecting everything, you know what I mean, to the best of our abilities without big budgets, without big crews and all that other stuff that you see on every other show. And I don't want that. I'd rather do it this way because there's no red tape. There's no, you know, like every show has notes to fall back on. Like, you have to do it this way. You have to put a narrative here, or you got to say this.
Right.
Not scary enough. You got to have those bumps out and make it scarier. I'm like, we don't do that. So it is what it is.
While watching the first season is something I appreciated. I did like more of the rawness, more of like what you're actually going to see out there. And I even commented to Christine after I finished the first season, like, this is different than normal paranormal shows, and I really enjoy it. So
that's cool.
Yeah, the atmosphere is different, and like it's a lot more of like a respectful vibe where like the music isn't constantly creating like a sort of tension or anything like that that's making people on edge of like, oh my god, what was that little creak or what was that tap? Like, it feels more natural, I guess, is the best way as well.
Yeah, totally, season one is definitely that. I think what I learned early on too is like the first pilot episodes of the first five, like I was trying to compare two locations with one topic, like one theory, like time space. But I think it's a little like, it's definitely out there. So you're either like in for the ride in the narrative of like thinking. And then all I was trying to do is create a conversation. Like, if you walk away from it and you guys like just start talking about it over dinner or something randomly, like, I did my job, because all it is it's making you think about, is this possible? And look, it doesn't have to be. That's the greatest part about it. It's just to create conversation with humans, period. But that's what all this stuff is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about, like, I just discovered the Holy Grail and all. Here's all the answers.
Right.
That's unrealistic. You know, like, I've been in so many haunted locations where it blow your mind. I've talked to, like, geniuses, like people with IQs out the roof, scientists, people that have died, been brought back to life. I've talked to, like, people that just don't believe at all, people that totally believe. I mean, I'm friends across the board of all religions, all beliefs, all like whatever. And it's just, it's very fascinating as a human being. At the end of the day, we're all equally in general the same when we are born into this world and when we leave this world. It's just different perspectives are just how you're brought up, what you're taught, what you think, how closely do you stay in the box, you know, your perception. But I think that's the greatest part about life. It's a journey, and we're supposed to experience stuff and share information and communicate that. So that's kind of like, that's kind of what I was driving the first five on. But I felt like we need to stick to one location and go like harder hitting with equipment. You know, a lot of equipment, pseudoscience, you know, when you get into the thick of it. But I think ultimately it validates some of the experiences you're having, especially audio or communication. If you get into real ITC, if any of you get into like instrumental transcommunication or really get into like heavy into that whole community of what they're searching for, you know, spiritual communication, then it's crazy. You know, it's crazy some of the technology we have now. And even Nikola Tesla was looking at this back when he was, you know, alive. And even Einstein was looking at this. So some of the greatest minds were like researching this. It's just, it's how it's presented sometimes. So it's one of those, Deathwalker is one of those things where it's like, yes, the first five eps, it can be a slow burn, or you're very fascinated by the concept of the communication, or you get into season two and three, and it's like, here we go. It's just like, like, it's just crazy because I'm sleeping there. It's just intense. Our locations are intense. And, you know, like, what was the location in Lockport there, the Western Block. Have you watched that yet in season two?
I haven't gotten to season two yet. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We are so looking forward to it though.
Yeah.
it's totally different than the first season. That's why I said, okay. Look, if you can't grasp season one, just jump right to season two. Cause season, and it's, I'm trying to do it where it's a broader audience, you know, people, there's a group of people in the, like, I guess in the theories or paranormal community that just will love season one. There's mm-hmm. a people in, or season two, that would be just like, let's go. It's just crazy all out. But I mean, again, it's just everything's condensed to the hour because of all the footage that I had walking away from, you mm-hmm. know, like the Sally House episode.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that one. Yeah.
It blew me away. Like mm-hmm. it blew me away because I was going after like all of season two is all about, can something physically harm you? You know, mm-hmm. or, you know, make your skin react or make your body have an experience like mm-hmm. from beyond. And how do we document that really happening?
Yeah.
Because typically you'll hear people be like, I just got scratched. Touched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'll try to look or you'll try to find it. You try to see. And I'm not taking that away from anyone because I do believe people do have that happen. I just think that I've never personally had something like so realistic happen at the same time where I can document it mm-hmm. happening.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of that that we play into season two. And then season three is like a similar concept. Can some spiritual energy or something from beyond overtake your mind, body, and your psyche? You know, like
right, the possession.
Yeah, in not possession. See, that's like, okay. That's like the I think that's misrepresented because possession is like the doomsday all, right? Like,
right.
I think people forget that possession takes a long time. Mm-hmm. To become possessed in mm-hmm. a sense, or to be claimed to be possessed.
Yeah. Right.
And it's a huge process. Like it starts with like oppression
mm-hmm.
and then
mm-hmm.
depression and so on. It goes mm-hmm. down the chain, but there is a real thing of energy. Like human beings produce energy, like kinetic energy when mm-hmm. we move, you know, and different types of energy. So we produce energy. Energy can't be destroyed. Where does the energy go when the body dies? The body's mm-hmm. going to die. It's a fact.
Yeah.
But you can't debate energy being destroyed. So where does the energy go? So my thing is, I've had experiences where you walk into rooms and it happens with the living people too. You ever like, were you ever around people where you're like, ooh,
they're just like energy drainers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Energy vampires. Yeah. Or like,
you're just like, I don't vibes, like your energy right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with somebody that was once living that died in an atmosphere, in a building, in a space that mm-hmm. still continues that energy, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been in locations. I was recently. Oh, my gosh. And that's the one thing I hate is that negative energy mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. walk into and you feel it almost latching onto your spine.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah. And it feels just dirty. And you're like, this doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Something doesn't feel right. And it's not the stories. It's not the scare factor of being in the dark and in a creepy location. Mm-hmm. That's a mm-hmm. part of it. But I think it's ultimately like what's lingering, you know, that really gets under my skin. Cause so I always said, you know, what can actually truly just maybe latch onto your spine or latch on your body and change your psyche, change your mentality, mm-hmm. like make you feel different or it's almost like it, whatever this energy is, if it is somebody or still that attachment of mm-hmm. that, can mm-hmm. that move through your body and see through your eyes, see through you, become a part mm-hmm. of you or make you feel a certain way?
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. That was, that's season three. So there's these overarching, but there's these 20 episodes to kind of go like down that rabbit hole
down
for those
journey,
20. Yeah. So it has like a open book, closed book kind of ending going on mm-hmm. there.
Okay.
And then season four we're doing right now, which is pretty radical. It's awesome. I can't wait for you guys to see what we're doing.
I'm so excited.
It's super, super cool. Excited. Yeah. Yeah. When I saw that your show came out, I was like, oh, Nick's doing a new show because we really enjoyed Paranormal Lockdown and mm-hmm. then obviously Ghost Adventures. Like I watched that when I was in college. UNLV, I love myself.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, back in the early 2010s and stuff. So it was so exciting. Deathwalker is definitely different, but it's like
in a good way.
Yeah, it's different in a good way. Different in like what you're saying, it's something fresh. It's something that mm-hmm. you haven't seen before. And even the equipment you use, like you said, is different. And that geoport thing that you use.
So creepy.
Yeah. It is really weird. It's weird when you're having like intelligent responses in real time
and
you're there. You know, it's different when you watch it on TV, but it's like, it's weird when you're there and what was it, Brushy Mountain Prison when I was down there in solitary confinement. And I hear, and I'm one of those like very logical thinkers. I'm like, okay, all right, what's the coincidence or where's the things aligning or is it malfunction or something? But I'm telling you, it was so intelligent what was communicating. And I really condensed it in that investigation. But there was somebody in that room in solitary confinement intelligently communicating with me. And I really do believe that it's difficult to say it's a ghost because we perceive that individual as a ghost because we're here in reality. But truly, I think they were thinking we were ghosts. And that's what he was telling me. Which makes sense, you know, because I believe he was living in all his sensors, like his senses of sight, food, water, all that stuff was stripped from him in solitary confinement. And maybe that's opening up another part of the brain and almost like psychic abilities where he can tap in. That was his form of communication through thoughts, and he could hear us, but we have technology to communicate back and vice versa. So it was just really fascinating to me just hearing those intelligent responses.
Yeah. Like we were talking about that and we said it was a little heartbreaking to hear because if you imagine this person in that cell might think he's going crazy because he hears you from the future. And like you said, like I was thinking that too, where like all your senses are stripped away from you. So what does that leave you with?
And humans need contact.
Right.
Yeah.
So like his brain was like seeking that out and it found you here and now. Well, I mean, 2020, I guess. But like, just hearing him say that you are the ghost and you are dead, like it really was like, just picturing this man sitting in the darkness all alone, just reaching out to anything that'll talk back. Yeah. And it was heartbreaking. And that was a conversation we had. So you did start a conversation with your show.
In that first episode, when they're in solitary confinement, like, oh yeah, that was such a sad conversation, but so fascinating just because the answers you were getting corroborated what you're asking. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's missing in paranormal television. I guess we'll call it that, because I know there's you know a million people out there paranormal investigating or looking for unexplained or just doing it for a hobby or whatever. Even the history, the aspect of like just the history in general, everything starts with a story. It starts with an individual or history, and I think we can't forget about that. And I think sometimes we just plow over it and are just thrilled by the ghosts or the phenomena of something that's happening. And I feel like our job, you know, is to, you know, tell the stories of the innocent people that lost their lives or the people that were victim to like something tragic that occurred. Obviously, criminals, murderers. Right. And we communicate a lot with that and these sinister locations. But I think ultimately they're all people and it's just, it's presenting audio. So, I mean, if somebody was mean and just kind of nasty in life and then they died and there's still that you know, mean, putting nasty out that intent, mean and nasty, then that's what we're going to get. It's all about intent, you know, just like when you were living. So, and it's the same way with us, you know, the way I go in is I'm just going to talk normal. And if it's getting nasty or the energy feels nasty, then I'm going to be like, I'm going to get stern and I'm going to get like, get up. Like,
yeah, I get think defensive.
I don't think it's necessary to go full blast and kicking doors and just feel like ridiculous. Like I'll be the one to say, you know, that was me like 2004 or 5 on Ghost Rider being stupid. Like, but we're young kids being dumb, you know?
Yeah.
But I think there has to be a point where you mature and evolve and become like present to what you're looking to accomplish in life in general, not just to present something just for thrills and whatever on TV. I just think there needs to be a balance, like a healthy balance, or else it's just like, I don't know, it's just kind of teaching, especially kids, it's teaching kids who watch these shows that that's what it is and everything is awful and everything is evil and like the world is so bad. It's always a demon. That's ridiculous.
Or that it's okay to be that way, like
totally. You know, and like speaking of demons, like that's such a rare thing too.
Yeah.
Like, in all my time, I'd say like maybe 2%, twice I've seen something that's so negative. And it's hard because humans create the word demon, you know? So at the end of the day, what is a demon?
Right.
You know? And what's the perspective? And then it goes into, I could ask 10 different people with different religions. They would think it's something completely different. And sometimes they think it's the similar. But I just think it's a negative, something that's far more negative that we can't comprehend necessarily as human beings. But we know it's negative. So we label it as demon or as that because it's easy to understand for us.
And we don't have any other words for it at this point in time.
Right. Yeah. But it goes back to like, so Bobby Mackey's Music World, right?
Yeah.
I always thought that was something like way back when I thought, oh my gosh, it scared the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, this is evil. This is something bad. But we don't have all the facts to claim what that is or who that is there. Mm-hmm. Just stories and other urban legends, you know, lingering in the proximity of Bobby Mackey's. But I know there's something there. I've investigated over a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really close with Bobby and Denise and Matt over there. And it's just, I think every time I go back, it's transforming and it's changing. Whatever's in the basement, I almost believe it's a thought form entity, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it's of spirit, meaning somebody that was once living and died.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that manifested and is changing over time by the people that are putting their intent into the location.
And you can feel that every time you go in, that like something's different about this thing?
I do, yeah. Oh, wow. In the basement, I totally do. And like I said, I've been there about 12 times now. Mm-hmm. And every time I go back, it feels different. And
that's crazy.
If you watch the episode on Paranormal Lockdown when I slept down in Bobby Mackey's for 3 days.
Oh, God.
And I put a hammock over the well.
Because why not?
We had all these devices and everything. It's a great episode, honestly. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But we captured something amazing, and that's when I started changing my perspective on what I thought was at Bobby Mackey's. We captured this massive ball, this anomaly that started floating and stuff. And then I replayed in Death Walker. In Death Walker, I went back and I started talking to Matt and Bobby and everything. And that's where I started discovering, I think it's a thought form entity. Mm-hmm. So I really believe that.
Yeah, we've recently kind of figured out like what that is. We have investigated the Whaley House a couple times with their public investigations that they have. And there's something there that almost feels like it's pretending to be like Yankee Jim or Violet or whatever you are expecting or hoping to find.
It'll
there.
Be whoever you want it to be. You want me to be Violet? Sure. You want me to be Yankee Jim? Yeah, I could do that too.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was like our first exposure to something like that. And then to hear in multiple episodes, you bring up this concept. In one of them, you mention a little girl named Sarah, that there was no records of her having passed away or having existed at all. But there's apparently something named Sarah haunting that place. And then it comes up again at Bobby Mackey's. And it was really cool to hear that through somebody who's actually been through the trenches quite a bit.
And again, I just think we need to evolve like the conversation in general, because I feel like it's dying slowly with, you know, it's just evil, it's just bad, or it's just this. And who's to say, like, we can't put a definite answer on that. Like, I never end up saying, I don't think in any of my conclusions or whatever, I'm not like, this is what it is, you know, because truly we don't know what it is. I'm just giving my experience and my thoughts on my journey. But ultimately, it's for you to decide, whoever's watching it, and for you to think a little bit outside the box and either agree or disagree or whatnot. I mean, really, there is no right or wrong. I think there is some stuff that's really on the nose with some of the stuff that's happening as far as paranormal goes. But I think ultimately, all the time, we're just trying to discover and learn as we go along through these experiences. Really, it's just about learning, honestly. It's just a strange world. I mean, there's such a huge spark in UFOology lately, you know, within the last 2 years, all this like declassified information, and then all of a sudden, like, now it's all a melting pot, like ghosts, paranormal, supernatural, UFO, cryptid. It's all
it's all the same
thing now. So it's just strange. It's strange. But, you know, I just observe sometimes a document, and, you know, 10 years ago, I thought it was something different. 10 years later, here I am, whatever.
Yeah.
And I just think it's something completely different. And I think that's what it's all about, is learning.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So yeah, I mean, one of the coolest things I've captured, and I think you have to check it out, it's probably the best footage I've ever documented. That is the clearest, filmed in 4K, so we can actually zoom in and see the nice details and everything on it. But it's an actual entity arm in hand that comes reaching in, and you can clearly see it. And I actually had it analyzed by a video specialist. Both cameras, the raw footage, everything. It's the best footage I've ever documented. It's called the Western Block, the Haunted Western Block in season two. Watch that episode. Okay. It will blow you away. It has like these three fingers. You can see the arm, the elbow, the fingers.
Oh, jeez.
That trips me out.
It's the strangest footage I've ever captured. Now, what's weird about it is we documented on one camera, but the second camera, like there's one camera on a tripod, and then Justin's holding the other camera. The tripod camera that's not moving or anything captures it. The other camera right next to it doesn't capture it. It's the weirdest thing, but they're the same cameras, and they're both filming me. I'm just standing there. We hear this noise, and then all of a sudden you see this hand reach in behind, like behind me, and then Justin whips the camera to go see what that noise is in the dark. And we gave both raw footage to the video specialist. We had it analyzed. And he couldn't figure out what it was, but he did see that it had heat signature on like the points of I think the fingers and the arms and stuff like that. We could see heat signature and I don't know, it's weird. So then I go into ufology, like, is this an interdimensional being? I started you know, going down that kind of rabbit hole, because I don't know if it's a spirit. It used to be a manufacturing plant. I don't know.
Maybe that's why he's missing fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What did you, how did you feel about the crawler you got at Trans-Allegheny back in paranormal lockdown?
Yeah, it was weird.
That tripped me out so hard when I saw it. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Goosebumps everywhere.
What's strange is, like, we didn't know it was happening. That's the thing. I had no clue. Like, when I looked back in the dark, when cameraman Rob was saying there was something there, I didn't know what he was talking about. So I really didn't know what there was. That was the weird part. We didn't know until actually we started reviewing it. So it was just really strange. I hated sleeping up on that that fourth floor. I was having nightmares actually when I was up there by myself. I'd try to close my eyes and all the rooms were open up in that area. And all I would see is these deformed faces just looking down at me while I was laying on that that cot with the sleeping bag, and I would see all these just weird faces looking at me. It wouldn't let me sleep. I was so exhausted on that on that investigation. I think I went, we went 3 days straight, 4 days realistically, but 3 days. I kept my, I did the mistake of, it was the early stages of paranormal lockdown. And I kept, I made the mistake of leaving my boots on the entire time. I just lived out my clothes, everything. Cause you, we, I would just go like investigate nonstop, 72 hours. Your body has to rest at some point. So you lay down in weird spots. And I left my boots on the entire time. And then my, my big toes started going like numb and stuff.
Oh,
and so it was terrible. It was really bad. Yeah, that was a mistake. But that place is Oh, I remember I slept in the basement or something like that. Where they did the lobotomies and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you're a crazy person.
Oh my gosh. That was nuts. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you've been through some stuff, man.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Haven't you been closed into like
in the morgue?
Yeah, in the morgue, like where they put the bodies. Oh my god.
Yeah. I'm like, no thanks. That's where you say nope for that.
we nope right out of those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. New Jersey Mental Asylum, the Essex Mental Asylum. I slept, well, I didn't sleep in it, but I stayed in the morgue. I got locked in the morgue for over an hour. Yeah, there was that one, which was pretty scary. I think of the other ones. Trans-Allegheny, I did the same thing in that morgue. And then I slept in a casket coming up in...
oh, my God.
Actually, in Death Walker. So Death Walker, you'll see me sleep in a casket in Greenville Manor, which is in, was it season 3? You'll see Greenville Manor, and I sleep in a casket for that one, which was terrible. Sally House was extremely hard to sleep in. And the other location that was really difficult was House on the Haunted Hill there.
Mm-hmm.
That episode was like, it's crazy being alone in that house by myself. Man, the energy is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So I've been in some pretty rugged, tough spots, sleeping on beams or in the attic and just weird stuff.
Is there anywhere you haven't been that you would like to go?
Yeah, there's a couple of locations in New York. I mean, there's tons of locations all over the world. Obviously, I would love to go more overseas to some of the more the historical locations. I've been to a lot of like the very iconic locations, you know, and surprisingly, some of the iconic locations aren't as like haunted as just kind of these houses in the middle of the woods or something dramatic.
Right, where nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. I investigated a ton of new locations that have never been done before for season 4, for season 3 too.
Yeah.
And like those were more haunted than like, let's say Alcatraz or, you know, I've been to Alcatraz a ton. I've been to like the Whaley House. I've been, you know, a lot of like, you know, the overpopulized haunted locations. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, there's locations that still surprise me that I walk away with experiences that I'm like, wow, that was intense and different and weird.
Which is something I also liked about Deathwalker, because like as I was watching, I was scrolling through the different locations you went to, I'm like, I haven't heard of like 90% of these, which is I'm really excited about, because you're not getting the same history, you're not getting the same background, the same haunts all over again. And it's really amazing that you find all these different places, because there, like you said, there are plenty of places out there that you could go to. You don't have to just keep going to the popular ones.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I've done that. I mean, I've been to a lot of locations. And then, you know, the other thing I was doing is the Nickroff tour. So I'd take people with me to these locations. Mm-hmm. So I've been to them a ton. Like I've been to Brushy Mountain Prison a couple of times. I've been to Bobby Mackey's over 12 times. Waverly Hills, tons of times.
Yeah.
I mean, you name it, I've been to it multiple times. Or, and then some locations I'll just happily, you know, we'll work really hard to get into it, and then either we'll get torn down or, you know, over time it changes hands with ownerships or whatever. So I've been lucky enough to see a lot of locations from the get-go and seeing them change over the years. Like I know Pennhurst has changed over the years, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of locations I've been to.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But there are several I want to go to. There's a lot in Italy, Greece. I would love to go to the Mayan temples.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Ooh. That would be cool.
That would be fun.
There's a ton of locations. Western New York has a ton of locations. Yeah.
Nice. So future seasons.
Future seasons. I know. They're trying to get me to 100 episodes.
You can do it, Nick.
We're working on our way to 60 right now. Yeah, I mean, we're close, but doing 20 locations a year is just like a lot.
It's exhausting.
It's intense. It is, because it's not like we have a staff of editors and stuff like that. Like I, you know, I edit the episodes down because I go over the evidence and everything too. So, and I want the narratives to be correct. It's a lot of work.
And it does seem like you do a lot of research on the history of the places before you go into them, which is amazing. Like you want to make sure it's accurate. You want to make sure that the urban legends are just urban legends and there's no connection between what actually might have happened there. Like when you went to Bobby Mackey's in the first season, like you kind of debunked what happened with the urban legend there, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, you try your best to learn the stories and the research and stuff like that. I really wanted to do justice going into Paranormal Lockdown when I went there. And then when I went back for Deathwalker, I just wanted to go up, you know, and really clear the waves with a lot of things. So, you know, I try to be as accurate, as factual as possible. That's like a real big pointer that Justin and myself try to do. Justin does all the heavy lifting on the research. And then him and I work together on like writing it, making sure it's accurate. He does a lot of the research on that stuff. So yeah, I know for a fact what we do is as accurate as you possibly can get it. We don't steer away from that. We're not going to go to a location and just be like, you know, right here is 10,000 people died and probably one person passed away. And then down the street is like a cemetery and they're pulling from that. And it happens. I mean, I see it on shows all the time. I'm blown away. I'm like, how they get away with that? It blows my mind. Like, how can you just exploit something like that and just be okay with that? Because it's not right. It's
We've run into that a lot in our own research for the show, too. Because, like, you know, we'll run into that thing that everybody knows. And then there's the, like one person who actually knows who debunks it. And we're like, well, I'm going to trust that person over these 60 people that claim to have heard the same thing out of nowhere. Like,
Because it's reiterating the same thing. It's just a game of telephone at that point. But then when you actually get back to the source material and you can see the proper resources, and it's like, okay, I'm believing this person, not what everybody else has said about it. So
I would say our show Deathwalker is by far the most accurate than anything else out there, and that's just me being confident about it because I know all the other shows, and I know all the people and the producers and the production companies and the networks. I know what they do and how it works.
Drama.
Yeah. So it's just, it's funny, but I mean, there's a lot of good people out there that I think mean well. But half of the time you won't see the good people on TV. You know what I mean? You won't see those people, like, because really if you saw what they actually do, I think it would be boring half the time.
People would just be like, all right, whatever.
A lot of research and a lot of real true investigations are boring.
Just,
you know,
sitting in the
really
dark
are.
Waiting for something to happen.
Totally. And again, some people just have the empath energy where they just draw weird things that happen too. So it's just interesting. I've learned that I've had this weird, like, empathic thing with, like, audio communication. I don't know. I learned that really early on with, like, digital recorders and audio devices. It's weird. It's like an antenna or, you know, like a lighthouse. You're just kind of that light in the dark, and it just kind of attracts certain things. So it's very interesting.
Yeah,
a beacon. Exactly.
I've noticed I'm pretty sensitive to little children spirits for whatever reason, but, like, I'm hoping it's not something malevolent pretending to be a child. I'd like to believe it's actually a child, but and so, speaking of being sensitive to things, how have you honed in on being more sensitive, or do you have any tips on, like, just trying opening to communicate up. When you opening up and going into these places?
I always go in with just an open mind. I don't go anything or do anything special. Sometimes I'll be careful. I think the older I'm getting too, maybe it's having kids and stuff like that. I'm more, like, careful with open, like, going too far, like, meaning opening that door up too far where you can't close it from negative energy just, like, lingering, you know. The negative energy is going to go away because I don't feed into negativity. Like, I don't feed into that. Like, people, and plus, sometimes too, when you're weak-minded in that sense, you allow that stuff to happen to you, you know. So I try to really just shut it off when I leave a location, but I can't help to have an experience, and I'm there for a reason. I'm there to document and do these things, and I'm calling upon it. So shame on me. But that's what I want. I want that so I can try to get validation, you know, and talk to the eyewitness counts and so on, and maybe even help the owners or whatever else is going on. But I really just want to explore the unknown for those possibilities. And then it's hard sometimes to close that door when you walk away because, you know, unfortunately, negative does affect people. It affects me constantly with a lot of these locations. But sometimes I'll just shake it off, and then you go to sleep or you go work out. This is what I do. I go work out or something like that. Put music in. I listen to a lot of music. And you just kind of push that away. But I'm also very grounded. It's taken me a long time to get here. And I'm also happy. You know, I think happy in life is a big part of it, too. And you have to really, truly know yourself. You know, like, you have to be okay with who you are, what you're doing, and everything like that. So I think there's a lot of healthy, if you're looking at the psychology of it, you have to look at the healthy balance in life first before you kind of dive into that wormhole and see
the other stuff.
Yeah, because it can affect you. It really can. So
it's like, put your own oxygen mask on before you help others.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. Seriously. And it's the same kind of scenario. You really just have to look at it that way, or else it kind of come. It's like that. What's that? That seesaw effect, right? If you don't have the balance, you're gonna be, like, off kilter. So it's just a weird thing that happens, and that's kind of how I just live my life. And if not, I got Tessa, my wife, who will go
the new baby.
Hello, Luciano. I know. He's so cute. It's crazy how time flies. He's already eight and a half months now, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I could have swore you just said, oh, here's the new baby.
I know. I was thinking when I saw that, like, it was 8 months. I was like, wait, didn't they just have him?
Yeah.
Seriously. I know. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Time flies. It's just insane. So weird. Yeah, no, he's healthy. He's good.
Awesome.
Nice. What would you say is your favorite piece of equipment to use?
Favorite piece of equipment. It's so hard because I used to say the Geoport, and the specific Geoport that I have, because it was custom built for an idea, a thought that I had that I was looking into. So they specifically made it based on things that I was further looking into for technology, and it works really well. Now I've kind of moved a little bit away from the Geoport. And the reason is because I feel like I'm using it too much because it's like too easy for me to get communication.
Right.
Because it's almost like a medium now. It's weird. Like Geoport has almost taken on its own form and its own entity. And I feel like it's like a medium that's attached to that device that's communicating from the other side. It's really communicating from the other side. It's like hit and miss with the Geoport. Like I'll get very intelligent stuff. I'll get history that we didn't even know about that I'll pass on to historians and they'll be like, whoa.
Oh, wow.
Like how did you find that? That's and I'll be like, Geoport told me.
That's really cool.
Spirits told
me. And then I'll get like weird stuff like that. It's awesome, but I'm trying new devices. I'm trying new stuff within ITC for season 4. We're bringing in new people to work with us. I just want to try to evolve technology a little bit more and try different things. So it's hard to say right now what I like the best. Right. I think ultimately just me being there in my own body and just actually having that personal experience. And then knowing it's truly a paranormal experience. And then maybe having some equipment to validate that with whatever equipment it is to say, wow, you experienced that too. Or somebody else that's there with me having that happen, you know? So I think just myself being there is it's kind of key sometimes.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So we're very amateur ghost hunters. We've gone on like 2 ghost hunts. Do you have any tips for us as we try to grow and evolve and just be more respectful of the areas and not emanate what we've seen on paranormal entertainment television?
Yeah, I think, you know, number one, obviously get permission from the locations before you start trespassing. But there's a lot of like, if you do some research on like a really like Hinsdale house or some locations that are really, really deep embedded into the paranormal and have great stories that are factual. And then you go in and you kind of know what you're speaking to or who you're talking to and stuff like that. I think ultimately, if you can spend a couple of nights at a location or go there overnight and just kind of put yourself into the environments, the longer you're at a location, I feel like you possibly will have a more profound experience. So that's kind of how I've been doing stuff. Sometimes you can at locations, you know, it's like one day, one investigation, which is okay.
Yeah.
But I think you need to go in where you're just asking simple questions, maybe digital recorder or take pictures. You know, we all have iPhones or whatever now, and you can do a lot of stuff with digital. And really, it's just about it just depends on what you're looking for, what you want to get out of your journey. You know, are you looking to put it together a documentary, or you just want to do it because solely you're just interested in the paranormal? If that's the case, just go in and just like embrace the environment.
See what happens.
And see what happens, because you could go there one day. You could go there on a Monday and nothing happens. You go there on a Tuesday and you probably have the craziest experience in your life. And you're like, oh my God, I need to go back there. I saw this lady standing there or whatever, you know. So it just depends.
Yeah, Whaley's been like that.
The Whaley house has been like that. I've been there multiple times. And
yeah, it's been nuts.
Sometimes I'm just like, oh, you know, I saw like something out of the corner of my eye. But then there's another time where, oh, I have a really heavy oppressive energy. And then another time it's like, oh, everything here seems really happy and jovial. It's like, what's going on?
Well, exactly. And you got to think of like the thousands, probably millions of people that have gone through that area too, you know, that are drawn to that specific spot and stuff like that. And I'm not just, I'm talking about the living too. People leave behind energy. So you can only imagine like the manifestation of like the spirits, the people that lived and died there at the Whaley, the people around in the land, the property, the other locations in Old Town there, you know, all the other surrounding stuff.
El Campo Santo.
Great food there. Good drinks.
Yep.
it's awesome. We were talking about potentially like doing a West Coast Deathwalker thing. It'd be cool to get to San Diego, that whole area and everything. I love San Diego. I used to live in Laguna Niguel.
Okay.
So Anaheim, right? Anaheim was really nice, that whole area.
Yeah, nice.
What are the chances we could join you on one?
Right.
Hey, if I'm out that way, definitely. Nice. Definitely swing by.
Are there any spoilers or anything you want to prepare us for the new season you're filming?
New technology, a lot of new technology. Some never seen ever before, but it's definitely mind-blowing. Some of the best evidence. It's just, I don't know, I just feel like it's even better than all the other seasons so far. We definitely stepped it up. We have new low light capabilities, new lenses that we're using. Specifically, it's really about the lenses too to document, I've been noticing.
Interesting.
We're trying new things, new locations never seen before. Yeah, it's wild. Awesome. It's really wild.
I'm so excited.
Does your wife join you on more investigations?
She does. Awesome. Yeah, you're going to see her in a ton coming up. Yeah.
Looking forward to
it. She was in a couple for season two and season three. You'll see Tessa in some of those locations. You got to watch the Eastern Hospital episode. It's really good. She actually almost died when she was a child, too.
Oh, wow.
It's a crazy backstory, but we got into the hospital where she was in for a while when she was a little kid, when she had all these surgeries done and stuff. That's where she had her first experience, and her mediumship and her abilities started to happen while she was in that hospital.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty wild, and what we captured and stuff. It's awesome.
Wow. You'd say you guys were linked from a very early age.
100%.
There you go.
It's so weird. Honestly, it's so weird. It's like, I feel like sometimes you have to go through life in the weirdest ways. You have your ups, your downs, you know, your highs, your lows. But I think stuff is definitely destined, you know, and you can't escape it.
Yeah.
And if you stare off that path, the universe has a way of kicking your ass back on that line. Be like, well, stop. Yep. You're going this way. That's kind of how Tess and I, you know, found each other, and it was meant to be. Totally. It's like a soulmate connection, deep. So it's cool.
I saw somebody refer to you guys as a paranormal power couple, and I was like, that's adorable.
I saw that. I was like, what's happening? But all right, we'll go with that.
I'm like, I'll take it.
Yeah. No, that's cool. It's funny how people, you know, when they see that, the love for social media, the love and hate.
I know.
It's awesome. No, I think it's really cool. I feel like we are, though, as far as her and I go, I feel like we are powerful together, you know, more so than just divided. Just because her abilities, like, I've never met somebody with such powerful and profound abilities to see things, like have that insight. And I'm telling, like, no BS, like, because I've met a lot of psychics, a lot of mediums in my days. And let me just tell you something. It's not all there. So... And she knows that. And Tessa is just like, it's just Tessa. Like, you would never even know it. You know, Sicilian, Italian, strong woman. She's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, raising some boys over here. And my girls. And it's just like, she's just a real person. You know, like, real, no BS, no blinds down. But it's so interesting when she just, like, flips on that switch and she just has that vision. She'll tell you. And she'll, like... If you ask her, she'll tell you. You know, she's just not going to come out of the woodworks and be like, this is going to happen to you. And it's not like that. Yeah. It's she's the most real and accurate person I've ever met in my life. And when I say accurate, I mean, like, she's accurate. She's spot on with what she says. So it's amazing, like, her and I together, in a sense, like, with her abilities, with my, I guess, investigative tactics and stuff like that through the years. And we just bring this very... interesting combination, you know. It's more powerful than just, like, divided. So we realized that, and I'm telling you, it's been amazing, like, working with her and stuff, finally in this field. And again, it was destined to happen. So
does she kind of help you hone in on your own, like, empath sensitivity? Because I remember in the first episode of Death Walker, you got a vision of a girl being trapped somewhere, and I don't know if I've seen you, like, have visions like that before. Like, do you get a lot of visions like that, or does she help you with that?
Surprisingly, I've had that since I had my near-death experience. I just don't talk about it a lot. And then my logical brain always wants to, like, kind of interfere. But what I have done within the last 3 to 4 years now, almost 5 years now, I've actually been honing in on my empathic, like, my visions. I've been listening to myself more, my intuition. So I've been... Because I've been listening to my intuition more, I just been like, I don't know. It's, things are so weird. Like, I'll say, hey, why am I not getting that? I feel like I'm getting that email from that person. And I've been waiting for an email or something like that. And then I'll, 2 seconds later, I'll pull my phone and be like, I got the email. Like, at that moment. you know, just weird stuff. Like, I'll have these visions or I'll have these insights. But my mom used to tell me after I had that accident with my arm, she used to say that she would hear me talking in my room, like 8, 9 years old, something like that. And she'd come and peek in the room and she's like, you weren't imagining. She's like, I knew when you were playing with the G.I. Joes or imagining or whatever. Right. You know, back when I was a kid, we didn't have TVs and iPads and iPhones. Yeah. I had to play G.I. Joes and I'd go out in the woods all day and stuff like that. And like, almost die a couple of times in the woods from hurting myself or something by accident. She said I would be in my room talking, and a couple of times she would catch me and I would be in the corner of my room looking up, talking to angels, I guess. And she's like, it would scare me so bad because it was surreal. You'd be in there in the corner and you'd just be like talking to angels and calling them by name and they'd be talking back to you and you'd be listening and then you'd be talking. Mm-hmm. Just weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that I've always had it. I think we all kind of have that intuition or ability. But I think some people are able to focus and are... It's almost like using a computer. Some people are better at using the computer.
Right.
The more you practice, the more you learn it, the more you adapt to it, the better you are. It's the same kind of scenario. And I think I've just been really listening to that. And I do think she has helped, like our connection coming back together has kind of erupted that, like that flame to hone into those things that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird too, because she'll be sleeping at night sometimes. And if I like touch her arm or hand or something, and I'm going into deep sleep, I'll pick up on what she's visually.
Oh,
I did this
so
a couple nights ago and it scared the shit out of me. I was literally like, I touched her hair when she was sleeping, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I saw this woman running down the street screaming.
Oh.
Like in fear. And I go, what are you dreaming about? Or what are you doing? That's what I said to her. Tessa's like, she's like, I didn't even tell her. She goes, I was having a vision of unsolved murder. She works on a lot of unsolved murder cases and she works with the police and detectives a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She was working on a case recently in Florida helping a family, but she doesn't talk about it a lot, but she, and we started doing this a lot together too, but she said she was having a vision of where this girl was last seen running down the street, screaming, trying to run away from the person who was kidnapping her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I picked up on.
Oh, wow. Like,
well, dream differently. I'm trying
that
to sleep.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's like our family is constantly embedded in spiritualism, paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Our house is like the real life Addams family in a sense.
Yeah.
That's fun.
But we're all fun going. Yeah. We like that fun. Once in a while we'll play PlayStation. Yeah.
No. Do you ever play Phasmophobia?
No. Tessa's cousin plays that.
Nice.
And last time I was over their house for a big Italian dinner, he's like, I need to show you something.
Oh my God.
I was like, what? And he showed me that game. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, I've heard about it, I think, but I just, you know, I really don't have any time to play a lot of games.
Of course.
I go in there, he's like, I don't know. Is there rankings or something? Like, he's probably ranked like 400 or something crazy.
Yeah, you go up in levels. Yeah.
Yeah, he was showing me. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
It's one of our favorites. Yeah.
I was telling him, I was like, I need to get like a Deathwalker game going or something like that.
There you go.
Thinking about it.
Yeah. I'd be into that.
Yeah. Like a virtual reality Deathwalker game.
You play as Nick Roth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Or you could be my cousin, the cameraman.
Right. Oh, and then God, I'm just following you around.
Wait till you guys see the bloopers, too. The bloopers are hilarious, by the way.
Oh, that's great.
I have a ton of bloopers on that I release that I've cut out. It's just, there's stuff where my cousin, he's like running into walls, I'm tripping over chairs, like, or like on the road when we're going to like random hotels in between our breaks.
Mm-hmm.
When we're traveling and stuff, just it's hilarious, some of the stuff.
Yeah, there was a little bit of it in one episode that was pretty funny
when I think you guys were in the Masonic temples.
Yeah, that one.
I actually laughed out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, look where you're going, and then I run into a chair.
That's when I laughed out loud.
Yeah. I like seeing like kind of more of that personality, not just like a personality that people would play up for the camera, but I really liked seeing a little bit of Nick there. So
I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, if you cut out too much stuff for the episode as far as like just drive, you know, all the scary stuff or the craziest experiences, I think we dehumanize who we are. I think it just makes us a little bit more human if you leave in like, this is really what's happening. Like, we do run into walls. We do get tired.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is perfect. And
get a little loopy and delirious.
Yeah, we totally.
Yeah.
We've all been there. We've all done that. So it's kind of, I like to maintain that and leave that in there.
Yeah. Well, this conversation has been
amazing.
An incredible experience for the two of us. And
totally fangirling.
If this insightful conversation has gotten you excited to check out Deathwalker for yourself, and we know it has, you can check out all 40 episodes right now on the FilmRise app, which you can download on pretty much any smart device, including Roku, iPhone, Android, and so much more. But if you prefer YouTube, like me, as of last night, 10 episodes can be found on the FilmRise True Crime channel, so you really have no excuse not to watch.
Yeah, right. Get to it.
Nick, it has been an absolute pleasure.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, we want to thank you for allowing us this opportunity to speak with you and help you promote this passion project of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you.
And we do hope to partner with you again sometime in the future. Is there anywhere else you'd like anyone to be able to find you?
Yeah, just check out Facebook. Instagram, YouTube. That's pretty much where I post all my stuff. Sometimes on Twitter. But just check out all my social media, follow, and it's been exciting. More episodes coming. Deathwalker, and check out FilmRise.
Yep.
Yeah.
Super excited.
Oh, awesome.
So if you enjoyed your tour today, please leave us a review on wherever you booked your tour. Reviews help us grow and reach more listeners so we can provide you with more tours. Remember to visit our website at nopevillepodcast.com, where you will have access to our show notes and anything we referenced in today's tour. And you'll be able to find and follow us on all of our social media for updates, polls, events, or just interacting with us, which is NopevilleCast on Twitter and Nopeville Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you want to be a part of our campfire stories, which are stories you submit for us to read, either fiction or nonfiction, you can submit them through the Contact Us form on our website and select Campfire Stories, or you can send an email to us at nopevillepodcast@gmail.com and be sure to write Campfire Stories in your subject line so we know what you're emailing us about. No tour is complete without first stopping by the gift shop before you leave. Go ahead and click on the gift shop on our website and be sure to pick up a souvenir for yourself or a loved one. And last but not least, gratuity isn't required, but sure is appreciated. You can do that in two separate ways. You can either buy us a coffee on Buy Me a Coffee, or you can visit our Patreon to see how you can support us and get some awesome rewards in return. And we will catch you all in the next tour. Bye.
Bye.
Excellent. I see most of you returned and relatively unscathed. Bravo. I hope you enjoyed your visit to Nopeville and look forward to seeing you again next time. Ha 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 ha!